The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Last week we played Who's Lying, and I admitted to you I was a horrible basketball player. This past weekend I took the first shot at an NBA game. Hey. What is happening? Good morning, it's the Dana Cortez Show, brought to you by Kohl's. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A, a.k.a. the Burnt Tortilla.
I really felt like this was some kind of Twilight Zone experience, and I get the invite for International Women's Day. Yeah. Dude, I'll get up there in front of everybody to take the first shot. So I get there and they actually, you know, allow you some time to practice. I'm taking shots. I finally make it, and me and my handler, shout out to Carson, she's like so excited. I'm like, oh good. And we turn around and Otto missed it.
Oh,
he missed when I made the shot.
So I was the official cameraman of the evening and I was taking the video and I didn't get Dana making it. Okay,
damn.
She took, let's just be clear here, she took 20 shots. She
it was
made
not
one.
20, it was 8.
It was 20, and she made one, and I missed that one. Because
of course
I was
he did.
Posting a video of her
missing the
over
shot.
And over and over.
Yeah. So anyway, we go back to the back room, we're chilling in the green room, so they call it, you know, we're talking, I go onto the court, it's time to shoot my shot.
So this, and this is before tip-off, like right before the game?
Right
literally
before.
Right before tip-off.
So right. Everybody's in their seats, Anthony. I'm like, I'm going to make it. I just made it. I'm going to make it. And of course, I missed it.
Ah,
in front of everybody. But
yes.
I almost screamed out, airball.
Oh. I know. Totally airball. I still got the high five from everybody. The crowd was wonderful. They still cheered. Got a lot of fist bumps. And it was a good time. It was such a great experience to have just been invited to represent on International Women's Day.
Did you end up standing next to the NBA players?
Oh, well, yeah, totally. We were right there. We were courtside and everything.
How does it make you feel? Because once I ended up by an NBA player, I was like, oh my God, we're such insignificant humans.
Anthony, we talked about this. Automatic and I sat courtside and I said, it still boggles my mind that these people are this big. You see them on TV or on your phone, you highlights, and they look like normal people. They look like real giants.
I've been working in the NBA for so long that it feels doesn't feel as weird, but I remember what you're saying when I first got into it. I just felt so small next to everyone.
But you're also 6 foot, so it doesn't have the same contrast as Dana.
No, Dana's for me, like, no. People's like, she didn't even make it to their waist.
I look like a one-year-old. And you know when you see parents with their children, with their little babies, that's what I look like. Either way, I had the best time, and I'm not gonna lie, I regret not making the shot. I was like, but I was so nervous, and there were so many women there being honored as well. Shout out to all my ladies. I love you. All right, National Day, Anthony A.
I don't want to trigger any trauma, but it is the 5th anniversary of the COVID pandemic. It's our anniversary, y'all.
This is a day that the WHO said, we're in a pandemic.
Yes, the World Health Organization
don't
declared
panic.
It a
pandemic. And we all panicked.
Oh, and we were fighting over toilet paper.
Oh, my gosh.
I just remember being so disappointed because we were going to throw the first ball out at the Dodgers game
and then it got
canceled.
Boom.
All right, what's next, Anthony?
On to the next one. We will go right along to National Promposal Day.
Okay.
The season for my young homies and homettes out there.
I got to take some time to acknowledge Dylan, my daughter's boyfriend.
Oh, nice.
He's so much more romantic and such a better boyfriend than I ever was.
Let's go.
He always makes my daughter feel special by doing promposal stuff like this.
He knows that she's going with him and he still goes the extra mile. You know what I mean?
Keep him happy. Shout out to my man, all the homies out there getting it done. And we'll wrap it up on National Worship of Tools Day.
Automatic Anthony A, what tools do you have?
I have acquired a power drill, which I recommend for any man over 30. It's just good for the content.
Used it?
No, besides posting it on my story, no.
You haven't screwed anything together
I haven't screwed anything in yet, but I do post pictures of it and be like, throwing off. That makes you look handy.
It makes it look manly. Good,
yeah. Automatic has a pink tool kit.
Oh, my
in one house.
And I have a black one, too. And I have like 4 drills because I keep losing the charger to the drill.
So he just goes and buys another drill.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
According to a recent study that was just published in the Journal of Social Psychology, men fall in love before women, and a man will say, I love you first.
Oh.
Okay. And takes a guy about 4 to 6 weeks, takes a woman 2 months to fall in love. Still feels kind of fast to me. I don't understand the biology of it.
Yeah, if you get everyone together in a survey, you could come up with a common number about 4 to 6
months.
But I think it's really case to case for me.
No, 4 to 6 weeks.
4 to 6
weeks.
You never know when it's going to happen to you.
I've never told a woman that I loved her in 4 to 6 weeks in my life.
Automatic. It took us years. When you told me you love me, it was years of us being like best friends and then dating on the sneaks. And then when you said it, it was shocking to me, even though I felt it. I felt like I loved you. It's such a commitment to say I love you. You can't just throw those words out there like that, or at least I can't. It seems like when you say I love you to somebody, it doesn't. It's nerve-wracking,
and if they don't say it back, then it's hurtful.
Oh, okay, okay. That's another thing. I remember I didn't say it back because people were around me, and I was nervous because if I would have said it, my friend would have been like, "Who are you talking to over there, girl?"
I said it to you on the phone.
Yeah, it was on the phone. I don't even remember.
I must have been nervous about something. Like, who's she out with?
No, you don't even remember. No, I was actually in the studio. Who are you out with? Whatever.
That's a lot of men.
Oh my gosh. I've
tried to strive my best to never do that. But I've had a friend who, like, we've joked about it. He's like, all right, you got to pull out the I love you card. It's if you're messing up or if you're feeling a little insecure.
Oh, no.
Or if you're feeling a little some type of way, you go, you know what? I love you. And just to let you know how serious you are about
it. That's why I had to feel it out. Wait, does he really mean it or what's going on here?
Obviously, I meant it.
I've never had a woman tell me it first. I've never even heard of any of my friends saying a woman told them, their partner, it first. I love you either.
Anthony, I think I waited for DJ Automatic to tell me because I was scared. What he just said, what you just said, if someone doesn't say it back, that feeling, oh my gosh. And I knew I loved you, Otto. I knew I was in love with you already, but I was so frightened. I'd had relationships before that didn't work and I didn't want to be let down and hurt. That feeling of just, you know, somebody not reciprocating the love, how do you even get the courage to do it? You don't even remember. Who knows?
I mean, I did it because I felt it, but I'm trying to think. I'm like, have I always been the one who said I love you to every person? I don't think I've ever had a woman tell me that she loved me first.
Oh, for me, is it? I know this sounds kind of weird.
It's a rejection, I'm sure. But
it's kind of a traditional thing. I hate to say it. I don't want to use that word, but
a little bit of like a man getting down on a bended knee in a form.
Almost, Anthony. Yeah. Obviously, not that, you know, to that extreme.
It's the same chivalrous process, if you may.
Yeah, if only Automatic would have gotten down on bended knee when he asked me to marry him. Unfortunately, we were walking through the hallway of our high rise holding groceries.
Okay, we're 15 or how many years? 16 years later, guess what?
It worked. Right?
It worked out. You know what? It might have not been the most chivalrous thing or the most romantic thing, but I'm solid.
I don't think it's healthy to put a timestamp on when it's okay to tell a person you love them or not. If you're feeling it and you want to go ahead and go for it, then shoot your shot. It may not work, it may will, but be honest with yourself.
It's better to say it than not say it and regret.
There it is.
Not finding out how the other person feels. And you're right, Automatic. I think we're solid by now.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Okay, so we were talking about this. I was telling DJ Automatic and Anthony that there's a pill that extends the life of dogs. And this is so exciting. There's this company in San Francisco, and it's called Loyal. I just went on their website. There are three different variations. There is an injection, there is a prescription pill, and there is a beef treat. And each one will be given to your dog depending on the level that the dog is at. Is this a puppy? Is this a midlife dog? Is this a senior dog? As our older dog, Princess Aphrodite, our baby girl Didi, is a senior dog. And then that's how you decide, or your vet decides, which pill is good for your fur baby. And I say fur baby because my dogs are dogs, don't get me wrong, but I love them so much. You know, I'm not the type of person that puts the dog in the bed or anything like that, but I have this connection with them. And I get so scared looking at our baby girl right now, Didi, because she is a senior dog and she's starting to get that older face. And she's like 13 almost. She'll be 13 this year. Also, Automatic, the fact that her and Eros are so close, he would not be able to function without her.
Any other dog that I had, once the one passes, the other one passes.
Oh, don't say that. He's baby. He'll be five this year. But oh my gosh, he would just be distraught without her.
Rose on my bad side this week. I was playing with him in the backyard, and we do this thing where we sprint back and forth. And when I zigged, he zigged also, and he chop blocked me, and I fell, and I hurt my wrist and my shoulder.
That's your fault.
It is my fault, but he's still on my bad side this week.
And Daddy's the same way. You know, she's just as active that she's a senior dog, because she runs and she plays and she's still very feisty. I'm worried, though. It scares me. I don't
have so many
dog.
Questions about this pill. So when you give the dog the pill, how many years does it give your dog? How much does it extend the life of the dog?
Because I'm on the website.
My next question is, how much is it going to cost? Because I'm going to get this for Didi if it's not like $1 million.
Well, I can tell you now it extends the life up to 2 years. I can't tell you what it costs because they don't have that up on the website yet. That'll be the last news that we get. Of course, how much it costs.
They're going to run your guys' pockets for that.
What do you think? What do you think? How much do you think this pill? How much do you think people will pay for this pill for 2 extra years with their dog?
Oh, in the upwards of like I think a few thousand dollars. I think is what it's going to end up being. But rolling out is going to be pretty expensive.
I think so too.
Are you guys feeling like, is this like more like a steroid shot, or is this just like injecting them with a bunch of healthy vitamins and
it
things
like that?
It says
that it improves their metabolic, I don't know. Oh. I mean, this is a real company.
Maybe it slows down their metabolic rate.
This is a 10-year clinical trial. This is a real deal right here. So I don't know what it does, but I'm thinking to myself, where's the pill for me? Where is this pill?
Well, that's coming next.
Where is that pill?
If they got a pill to extend dog's life, the humans are coming next.
I definitely promise you, I pay the thousands to extend my life just a little bit more, you know?
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Piglets, these three little piglets that were left to starve as part of a controversial art exhibit, have been stolen.
Oh.
And I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy. Well, this artist, his name is Marco Evaristi. He said he was aiming to raise awareness of the suffering caused by mass meat production. So he left three little pigs inside of a crate. And they were just there for weeks with no food or no water. And he said, well, this is what you eat, this is what you support. And someone says, no, stole the piggies. And I'm sure they fed them, put them in a green pasture somewhere, and are letting them run around. So, which makes me very happy.
I would like to slap that man in the face with a hot dog.
It sounds like a modern twist on the three pigs and the big bad wolf.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy got stolen. Thank goodness. Yeah. But I understand what he's trying to do. You know this, right? Automatic, that the meat that we eat comes from mass farming. And so what we witnessed here, like, oh my gosh, I feel bad for these piggies. You kind of enjoy it in a bacon sandwich.
Yeah, but I don't need to witness animal cruelty as your form of expression.
You like it hidden behind those big barn doors like the rest of us. All right, have you ever thought about keeping a farm animal as a pet? Because somebody stole these three little pigs. You know they got them at their casa house.
I have a friend recently who would dream of having a pet possum.
An opossum?
Opossum, yes, an opossum.
An opossum. Why would they want an opossum?
Because, truthfully, I guess they're really friendly.
They are so friendly. They look scary. They have big teeth, but they're super friendly.
And they're actually disease-free as well, too.
Yeah, so they hiss, though, but they'll never bite you.
There you go.
You can pet them.
Dana, are you the friend who wants a possum?
I'm not the friend.
We used to have them in our backyard all the time. No, we don't want them.
I'm the wife whose husband wants a baby donkey.
Oh!
DJ Automatic's been crying for a baby donkey.
And we will get one very soon here.
No!
You need one before the next Shrek movie comes out.
No, many donkeys... Big. I don't want one in my house.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Drewski and Odell Beckham Jr. both named in the Diddy lawsuit. We'll get into the details after Anthony gets us famous people's birthdays.
We have Johnny Knoxville celebrating his birthday. Terrence Howard and friend of the show Paul Wall celebrating birthday.
It's the Iceman Paul Wall.
Love me some Paul Wall. All right, so we got to get a little serious here. New lawsuit alleging that Drewski and Odell Beckham participated in very graphic behavior, sexual assault at a Diddy party. The person accusing them, we're going all the way back to 2018, mm-hmm. I believe, in the lawsuit. Drewski's denying everything. Have you seen anything from Odell Beckham Jr.? I have not seen an official statement from him or an attorney representing him. But Drewski says he was at home with his mama at that time. He hadn't popped off.
I was pretty privy to his movement early on since he was touring with Jack Harlow.
Okay.
And that I didn't hear the name until 2020.
Yeah. Anthony, wait a minute. Weren't we one time at the VMAs and you and Otto actually talked to Drewski or something like that?
Yeah, that was like 2022.
See, mm-hmm. And this was kind of in the beginning of him or right after he popped off the pandemic.
At that point, when he was still running around as like a entourage member at that point of 2022.
Right.
So, yeah, everything kind of before the Drake video that he did, he really wasn't that well known. So yeah, I mean, hey, again, thoughts to the victims. I hope everyone's okay, and it's sad what's going on to the people who are really getting, you know, abused. But I don't know about Drewski.
I read the court case and I don't,
the accusations. Yeah, you mean the documentation?
And it was odd because they brought up the baby oil, and then they also said that Drewski jumped on the woman, so knocking the air out of her.
You're right. Like, is this a joke?
I don't want to, because it's not a joke, but I thought it was. It sounded a little outlandish.
So Drewski, in his statement, said, "My heart goes out out to real victims, but this is a malicious false story. And I think we're right back where Jay-Z was when he was arguing against Tony Busby, this attorney who swore up and down that his client had proof about Jay-Z harming her at a Diddy party. And Jay-Z said the same thing. Look, I am a father to daughters and I am vehemently denying any of this. And what it does is it shuts down the voices of people who have really been harmed. Then it's you're afraid because people say, well, she lied and I don't believe her. I don't like her. I don't know, you know, and it just makes the whole thing difficult. So I'm hoping that these allegations are false. Yeah. I really hope that they're false. And those that were really harmed at these parties get justice. So we'll follow the case closely. Odell Beckham, he releases a statement. I'll let you know. And we'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Why was Rihanna wearing sunglasses when she gave birth? There's a lot to this story, so we'll break it down after Anthony A gives us celebrity birthdays.
Friend of the show, Paul Wall, celebrating his birthday. We also got Terrence Howard and Johnny Knoxville celebrating birthday as well.
Okay, so Rihanna posted a photo of herself with one of her children. I don't know if it was Riot Rose or RZA. I'm not sure.
It was both of them.
Maybe. But in one photo, she's in the labor room. And you can tell she just gave birth and she has sunglasses and pearls on. Rihanna. Because I definitely didn't look like that with either one of my three beautiful daughters.
You still look pretty good though, I will say. Because remember, I even said during your birthing
experience,
I was like, this isn't even that bad, Dana.
And that's when me and the nurse wanted to slap you.
Very important to let people know, if you don't know, Dana and Automatic are married.
Yes, yeah. This is true. Okay, Automatic and I are married. So, yeah. Everybody was at my birth. We put it up on TikTok. No. It's hard to give birth, but you're trying to, in my experience, I was trying to be quiet and just concentrate. Just because I didn't cry didn't mean I wasn't in pain. Automatic tried to be like, this isn't even hard. It was very difficult. And he talked a lot.
Because I was nervous. When I'm nervous, I start talking a lot.
The nurse was like, is he always like this? I said, no, girl, he's nervous.
You're talking to the nurses while they're in the middle?
Oh, yeah. I was having a full-on conversation with the doctor, even to the point when my daughter's head came out and I saw it. I said, ooh, what is that? And he said, that's your baby.
Shocking. No pearls, no sunglasses, just automatic, almost stressed fainting. Out. Stress, just a whole lot of stress.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
I took the first shot at an NBA game for International Women's Day.
Nice.
Man, yes. Oh, automatic Switch. Anthony. Yes, exactly, Anthony. It was all about that, right? Okay, I also admitted I'm a bad basketball player, right? A couple of weeks ago, probably the worst you'll ever see. So I took my role seriously. Showed up early, practice, made a couple of shots.
You made one shot.
It doesn't matter, automatic.
Out of 20.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, so I was dribbling. My stance, seriously, I'm like, well, how do the basketball players stand?
You did not dribble anything.
If you go to add Dana Cortez on Instagram right now, you will see me dribble the ball.
And you can see that she cut out her shot.
You know what?
I have the video of the full shot. Should I post that?
I freaking stood there, got my stance going, got my ball up in the air. And yes, I missed. Okay, damn. Automatic. I missed. In front of 18,000 people, I missed.
Oh, no.
But at least I
the crowd
tried.
Goes, ooh.
A little bit. I mean, the cheerleaders gave me
good
high
job.
Five. What are they going to do? They're cheerleaders, not real leaders. You know?
I put myself out of pocket before. And salute to you, Dana, for sticking through with it, though. And to do something that you've never really done before in front of, you know, 18,000 people or so is a big deal. So salute, dude. And
something I know I'm bad at. Yeah. I still said, yes, so I'll do it. That.
I one time got roped into doing a dance challenge when that one Drake song was like, Kiki, do you love me? Oh. And
my feelings dance, I remember that.
I don't have good rhythm to begin with. And then I've never been a good dancer. So we had to do a choreographed dance. And I'm in there with a bunch of bachata dancers who know what they're doing. And they're doing a little flair to it. I'm standing in the background. And I think that video is still somewhere up on YouTube, but I'm mortified by it.
I remember how upset you were that Automatic and I were out of town and we came back and you said, I think I'm going to quit.
I've never threatened to take something to HR until they made me dance in that video. Oh, God.
You're like, I don't do TikTok dances. Yeah, I don't do this.
Most of the time, it's just my mouth that gets me in trouble. Remember when I told Becky G, man, those fake teeth telling you, look so good.
Yes, I do. The worst part, though, Anthony, do you remember Automatic didn't understand that he just embarrassed her? You and I had to tell him, bro.
He just did it again.
I know, you just said it again.
Or the other lady, it was like within the same week when I told her, I always said, man, that's an amazing bun you have there, but I was talking about the one on her head. She literally turned around and started twerking for me.
What?
In there. And I was like,
wrong bun.
Somebody call HR.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.